Part 4 Chapter 38
Had I best be going now, sir?
Abominably shy, Morris pretended not to hear.
We mustn't fall asleep, though. Awkward if anyone came in, he continued, with a pleasant, blurred laugh that made Morris feel friendly, but at the same time diffident and sad.
He managed to reply,
You mustn't call me sir. And the laugh sounded again, as if brushing aside such problems.
There seemed to be charm and insight, yet his discomfort increased.
May I ask your name? He said, awkwardly.
I'm Scudder.
I know you're Scudder. I meant your other name.
Only Alec Just.
Jolly name to have.
It's only my name.
I'm called Morris.
I saw you when you first drove up, Mr. Hall. Wasn't it Tuesday? I did think you looked at me angry and gentle both together.
Who were those people with you? Said Morris, after a pause.
Oh, that were only Mill. That were Millie's cousin.
Then do you remember the piano got wet the same evening? You had great trouble to suit yourself over a book.
Didn't read it, did you either?
However did you know I didn't read my book?
Saw you leaning out the window instead.
Saw you the next night, too. I was out on the lawn.
Do you mean you were out in all that infernal rain?
Yes.
Watching?
Oh, that's nothing. You've got to watch, haven't you? See, I'm not much longer in this country. That's how I kept putting it.
How beastly I was to you this morning.
Oh, that's nothing.
Excuse the question.
But is that door locked?
I lock it.
As he did so, the feeling of awkwardness returned. Whither was he tending? From Clive into what companionship? Presently they fell asleep. They slept separate at first, as if proximity harassed them, but towards morning a movement began, and they woke deep in each other's arms.
"I'd best be going now," he repeated,
but Morris, through whose earlier night had threaded the dream, "Something is a little wrong and had better be," was resting utterly at last, and murmured,
"No, no." Sir, the church has gone far. You'll have to release me.
Morris, I'm Morris.
But the church has...
Damn the church.
He said, and the cricket pitch to help roll for the match.
But did not move, and seemed in the faint grey light to be smiling proudly.
I had the young birds, too. The boat's done. Mr. London and Mr. Fanshawe dived splack into the water lilies. They told me all young gentlemen can dive. I never learned to. Seems more natural-like not to let the head get under the water. I call that drowning before your day.
I was taught I'd be ill if I didn't wet my hair.
Well, you was taught what wasn't the case.
I expect so. It's a piece with all else I was taught. A master I used to trust as a kid taught me it. I can still remember walking on the beach with him. Oh, dear. And the tide came up, all beastly grey.
He shook himself fully awake, as he felt his companion slip from him.
Don't. Why did you?
There's the cricket.
There's not the cricket. You're going abroad.
Well, we'll find another opportunity before I do.
If you'll stop, I'll tell you my dream. I dreamt of an old grandfather of mine. He was a queer card. I wonder what you'd have made of him. He used to think dead people went to the sun, but he treated his own employees badly.
I dreamt the Reverend Berenius was trying to drown me. And now really I must go. I can't talk about dreams, don't you see, or I'll catch it from Mr. Ayres.
Did you ever dream you'd a friend, Alec?
Nothing else, but just my friend. He trying to help you and you him. A friend, he repeated, sentimental, suddenly. Someone to last your whole life and you his. I suppose such a thing can't really happen outside sleep.
But the moment for speech had passed. Class was calling. The crack in the floor must reopen at sunrise. When he reached the window, Morris called,
Scudder!
And he turned like a well-trained dog.
Alec, you're a dear fellow, and we've been very happy.
You get some sleep. There's no hurry in your case, he said kindly, and took up the gun that had guarded them through the night.
The tips of the ladder quivered against the dawn as he descended, then were motionless. There was a tiny crackle from the gravel, a tiny clink from the fence that divided garden and park. Then all was as if nothing had been, and silence absolute filled the russet room, broken after a time by the sounds of a new day.